I'm honored and excited to be here on this virtual webinar meeting. And unfortunately, I was not able to be in Chattanooga in person. That was the plan. And I love Chattanooga. And so really disappointed I wasn't able to be there in person, but I'm excited to be here. So my plan today is to share for about 13, 14 minutes about my story, a little bit about my life and the history and some ups, some downs, what's happened with that. 3 minutes about what's going on in my life now, and then 2 minutes I'm going to share an opportunity that I have for each and every one of you. And before I jump into it, that title is absolute truth. My 401k is down. I think all of our jobs are at risk. Personally, with the adjustment to the physical quarantine, I'm spending an extended amount of time with my wife, and we are really trying to lean into it, but at times it's driven me crazy. Everything feels like it's been crashing around me, and that is the truth. At a time like this, I would have typically turned to vodka tonics, but now I'm turning to something else. So I'm honored to share my story with you today. As Tom mentioned, I was born and raised in Fairway, Kansas, and being an avid golfer, that was a great town to be from. Golf was really a part of my life since I was 3 years old. In fact, in the delivery room when I was being delivered, the doctor said, "Here comes the next Tom Watson." For those of you who are avid golfers, you know the name Tom Watson. And unfortunately, my career, at least not yet, has turned out to be as successful as Tom's. But golf has always been a mainstay in my life. Growing up, I have a story of growing up in a Christian home. Had a very loving family, a very supportive family. I have parents who have been married 40 years. They were behind me every step of the way. So I have somewhat of a unique story of pain and suffering, but having almost every opportunity afforded to me. So I want to share a story that really illustrates kind of the direction that took my life in a specific way. And it starts on the golf course. So I was a freshman in high school and I was in golf tryouts. And for you golfers, we had 9 rounds of tryouts to secure a place on the team. And after day one, I had shot a 34 on 9 holes. In day two, I had shot a 32. So feeling pretty good, 14 years old. But on day three, I was paired with the junior and senior co-captains. So there I was, 5'2", 150, afro hair, and just looked like I was 10 years old. And I was paired with the 16 and 17-year-olds who I'm sure had hair under their armpits. They were both over 6 feet tall. They were quite intimidating. On the first hole, I ended up making a par. Nice start. And then I caught fire. Birdied number 2, number 3, number 4, number 5, number 6. I am now 5 under par through 6 holes. And unfortunately, bogeyed the 7th, hit a great shot on the 8th hole, missed my birdie putt, and 3-putted from there for a 4-putt double bogey, and bogeyed the 9th hole. 1 under par, still a great round, but unfortunately, I had 5 birdies in a row. And at 14 years old, I was devastated. I walked off the green crying. You can imagine how I felt, 14 years old, embarrassed. But I share this story because it started a cascading effect in my life. From my freshman year, I went on to make the varsity golf team at one of the most prestigious high schools in Kansas City. Fast forward 12 months later, my sophomore year, I grew 6 inches, forgot how to play the game. I went from shooting under par regularly to not being able to break 40. I ended up getting cut. Devastating loss, absolutely devastating. And at 15 years old, I think all of us can identify with the fact that we're insecure, we're searching for identity. And it was very apparent to me that regardless of how I was brought up, my identity was in golf and golf alone. And when that was stripped away from me, I pursued a life of acceptance within what the world have to offer. And so I describe my journey as every single day making a small decision, one by one by one by one. Small decisions each day that were taking me off the path that I originally thought had been on. From the time I was 15 till the time I was 24, sure, there was good things that happened. There was great times, good experiences, but there was a lot of pursuing the life of the flesh, the acts of the flesh. Without glamorizing those, I'm sure we all know what that life looks like. Pursuing drugs, pursuing alcohol, pursuing promiscuity. It was a challenging time. And I have a lot of pain and a lot of wounds and a lot of suffering from the way that I lived. Fast forward to 24 years old, have an amazing girlfriend at the time, and I really started experimenting with this life in the church, life out of the church. I say I had one foot in, one foot out. So there I was in April 11th, 2014. I was down in Des Moines, Iowa, celebrating Masters Weekend almost 6 years ago, 3 days from now. We'd finished our round. I was having a beer in the pro shop after, in the bar after the round. And I got a call from a friend in Minneapolis. And it was devastating news. My best friend that I had been with 2 days before was killed in a head-on collision. 7 a.m. on the way to work, he was an accountant, first generation to go to college, and had a wonderful accounting position. And 3 days before tax day, he had stayed up all night processing returns for a client, was on the way, and was killed in a head-on collision. And at this point in time, my whole world shook. I don't know if any of you out there watching this have had a near-death experience, either been near death yourself or had someone near you die. But at 25 years old, my foundation was not solid enough, and all the questions started rushing to mind. Where is he? Is he gone? Is this heaven thing that I read about in Sunday school real? Will I ever see him again? What do I do now? How do I process this? And what unfolded over the next 35 days was some of the most challenging times in my life. Now, looking back on the accident, alcohol was not a pillar, it was not a factor in the accident, but it was a pillar in how I personally dealt with the consequences of the accident. I realized the fragility of life through this near-death experience. So 35 days later was my 25th birthday, May 16th. It was a great celebration, great party at a brewery, and things were going really, really well till the end of the night. And I will never forget this night. It's a night that I wish I could forget. Towards the end of the night, we were bringing up stories of my old friend, and I had had significantly too much to drink. And what happened was, I dealt with anger, and I was very, very upset. And so at the time, my girlfriend, who I had loved more than anything I'd ever met, was with me and was trying to console me. Her mother was with me and trying to console me. And at that time, with the Irish background I have in me, I had wanted nothing to do with anybody consoling me. And so with a forceful push off, I had thrown my girlfriend and her mother off of me. Now, if you look back at the time, I did not hit them. I did not lay my hands on them, but I broke free. And I'll never forget the look that her father, the man who I respected, Ivy League college graduate, medical degree, orthopedic surgeon, Division I football athlete, I'll never forget the look that he had in his eye when he looked at me with disgust. As I mentioned, that's a day that I wish I could forget, but it's a day that I am thankful for, because it changed the trajectory of my life 5 years ago. So fast forward, the next day, I'm devastated and I get broken up with. And for Superman, or so I thought I was, I had experienced kryptonite for the first time in my life. I had been broken up with and lost something that meant more to me than anything had ever meant in my life. So I wrote myself a letter the next day. I said, "Dear John, you lost something that meant more to you than anything else has ever meant, and it was because of alcohol. So I want to give up alcohol for 30 days. It sounded like an eternity. For a guy who had been leaning on the substance since he was 15 years old, it sounded like an eternity. I hadn't gone more than a week without a drink. How was I going to go a month? And the events that unfolded are truly beautiful to look back on. So 6 weeks into the sobriety process, I had had a great friend who I had met, who picked me up, took me to some AA meetings, and I really started to ponder this question of God as I understood him. And it was safe to say that the Holy Spirit was working in my life. So 6 weeks after all of this had taken place, close to 8 weeks now, I had gotten invited to a Thursday morning CBMC Connect 3 meeting at Chick-fil-A in Bloomington, Minnesota. At the time, I had a consulting contract helping with social media marketing, and the organization, CBMC, had gotten connected with the organization that I was working with. And so the man that I had had the contract with said, "John, I think you should go to this meeting on Thursday morning and meet these great Christian guys." At the time, I was still experimenting, not really sure where my faith lied, understanding God as I understood him, processing the Sunday school stories I had been taught. But I showed up on that Thursday morning, and it's a morning I will never forget. For the first time in my life, I was around grown men who were open, vulnerable, and honest about their struggles. They were open and honest about everything hard in their life, and they were still relying on their faith in Jesus Christ. They were open about same struggles that I had. It was abnormal. I had never seen anything like it. Growing up, I always thought you had to put on your Sunday best. I thought I had to be good enough. I thought I had to hide what I did wrong. I didn't know I could be open about it and pray about it. And so this set off a series of events that led me to where I am today. So over the next 12 months, some amazing things started to happen. I ended up getting the love of my life back. But more importantly, I got discipled by a man. I spent time in small groups. I ended up leading a small group. I learned to read God's word, the Bible, something that I had never done or enjoyed before. So it's quite comical. I like to share this story. For my discipleship, I kept hearing about, John, you need to be discipled. You need to be discipled. So I show up to a discipleship meeting. I got connected through the CBMC area director to a man who was 67 years old, owned businesses, had cars, was married, had a cabin, had four children, really had it all, and had it all together. I really wanted to model my life after him. So I show up there at the Panera Bread Company. I can't wait to sit down and let him know, you know, here's all the challenges in my life and where I need you to help me. And I'll never forget it. I sat down and he looks at me and he says, John, I am so thankful for you. I have been praying for you. I need you in my life. I'm having troubles in my marriage. I'm having troubles in relationship with my children. My business has a challenge. And I'm going, what? I'm 26 years old. You're 67. You're the guy that's supposed to have it all together. And it was unbelievable to me. And what I realized was that it's not going to get any easier. I needed a different strategy. Because amongst all these trials and tribulations, this man had peace. This man had joy. This man had hope amongst these difficulties. And I would have thought if I was 67 and having these challenges, I couldn't navigate these waters. So over the next 24 months, what unfolded was a beautiful story of discipleship, learning God's word, learning how to read God's word, learning about the Holy Spirit, all these different topics that I had never really taken time to understand. And what I noticed throughout this Christian walk, and it's called a walk for a reason, is that God is there for me, and God loves me, and God has a purpose and a plan for me. That never clicked. It never clicked when I was in Sunday school, but what did click was God said, John, I saw you. I saw you in the darkest of the deepest of your valleys. I was there with you. I know what you did. I know what you thought about doing. I know everything about your life, every intimate detail, and I still love you. So for the first time in my life, I was known and accepted and understood that a relationship with the Lord was not a checklist of to-dos, but it was a grace-based relationship. And here I am today. I would like to spend just a couple minutes talking about my life today, and then a couple minutes about an opportunity that I have for you. So professionally, while all this was unfolding, I landed what I thought was my dream job, being in the sell side advisory business in the mergers and acquisitions industry. And I came to find out that those are buzzwords, mergers and acquisitions industry. For those of you that are in it, you know about it. For those of you that aren't in it, you don't know about it. So I thought I was big time, got a nice sport coat, a nice shirt, and I was dealing with business owners that made millions of dollars. And so while I was walking with the Lord, I still had this passion and this desire for this little thing that we call money. I realized that I didn't want to be selling companies anymore. I actually wanted to be one of those companies to be built up and to be sold. And so I prayed for a specific opportunity to be in a company like that, and God gave it to me. And wouldn't you know it, 9 months after being there, making more money than I'd ever made, my wife comes to me one day and says, John, you're miserable. You're miserable. And I said, sweetheart, this is everything that I worked for, right? I'm following Christ, right? And we're making money. Isn't this what life's about? And I got pointed to a specific Bible verse. If you read Mark chapter 4, verses 15, 16, 17, and 18, it talks about that a man can be a seed planted amongst thorns. And there's three things that can choke this thorn out, choke this seed out from being fruitful: the deceitfulness of wealth, the desires for other things, and the cares of this world. So I thought I was all in following Christ, but I'll tell you what I learned. If Satan can't make you bad, he will make you busy. So as I recap now, I find myself in an amazing position. God had something prepared for me. I'm not financially knocking the cover off the ball, but I'll tell you what, I am bearing fruit and fruit that will last. And so what I want to share with you today is just that my story is not your story, but if there are similarities, I want to offer to you an opportunity. I've sat in your chair. I've heard the messages. I've heard the sermons. But I'll tell you what, until you reach the lowest of lows, sometimes that's where God puts his hand down and pulls you up. So now, why a life of following Christ? Why a life of following Christ and not pursuing what this world has to offer? I'll tell you what, I pursued everything this world had to offer. I pursued the acts of the flesh. I pursued money. I pursued wealth. And I'm so grateful that at 30 years old, I have realized that all of those are an empty well. Now, is my life perfect now? Absolutely not. But I'll tell you what, I serve a perfect God, and I'm able to turn over my unknown future to a known God. I have more peace, more love, more joy, more hope, more excitement than I've ever had in my life before. Has my life been challenging during this COVID-19? Absolutely. 6 years ago, would I have loved to have enjoyed multiple vodka tonics to deal with the stress and the challenges that we're facing today? Absolutely. But instead, I turn to God's word, because God's word does not return void. It's an amazing honor and an amazing privilege to share my story with you today. I want to transition to giving you an opportunity. So we have all heard this idea of the gospel. That's what we've heard, right? Well, gospel actually stands for good news. But what I had to understand in order to appreciate the good news, you have to understand the bad news. So what I want to share with you today here in these closing minutes, as we come upon Easter Sunday, was we are going to have Good Friday. I want to share with you this idea that God created us. He created us to be in relationship with him. Now, our sin separates us from God. And unfortunately, no matter what we do, sin cannot be removed by any amount of good deeds. That was where I thought I fell short. I didn't think I was good enough. I never thought I was good enough. But paying the price for our sin, Jesus Christ died on the cross. And everyone who believes in him and his resurrection, they will be saved. In a life following Jesus, it begins now on this earth and it lasts forever. So why follow Christ? Because it's the greatest adventure of a lifetime. Why follow Christ? Because I'm standing here today with pain and wounds and hurts, but they've all been redeemed and they've all been washed clean. Sin has consequences. God wants to be in relationship with us, and Jesus Christ paid the price for our sins. So here in a minute, I'm going to close with prayer. And at the end of prayer, there's going to be some response cards that come up on the screen. Now, if I'm speaking to you today, I want to be open and honest with you. There's a few of you probably in a few different categories. You might be in a category of, you know what, John, I'm not ready to make that decision, but I feel lost. My company's at risk. My marriage is at risk. My relationship with my children is at risk. And if that's where you are, we want to care for you. And you have an opportunity to check the box to have somebody from CBMC there in Tennessee reach out and connect with you and have a conversation. We're here to talk with you. Again, that Connect 3 meeting, those men were open about their struggles. My life is hard right now, but I have a peace that surpasses all understanding. And if it's that's you, I want you to check that box. You might be in a second category that says, you know what, John? I'm still processing this. And I believe that faith is not the absence of doubt, it's the processing of your doubt. And so if you find yourself in this category today that says, I need to surround myself with men who are following Jesus, even though I'm maybe not ready to make that decision yet, you'll have the opportunity to check that box. You can get connected to a group of men that will come alongside you, process through your life issues, pray for you, and continue to help you move forward in this life. And lastly, you might feel that God is moving in your life. You might feel like I did that day after my 25th birthday, where you're ready to throw your hands up and surrender. You're ready to say, God, I want to put you on the throne of my life. And if that's you, I'm going to close in prayer. And when I indicate for you to repeat after me, if you're interested in praying this prayer of complete surrender, you may not know what the future looks like. You may not know what next steps look like. But if you're ready to acknowledge your sin and understand that the wages of sin is death, and you're ready to put Jesus Christ on the throne of your life as Lord and Savior, you'll have the opportunity to pray with me. And I would invite you to do that because it's a life full of love and joy and hope and peace. So why don't you join me now as we go into this time of prayer? And if that's you, feel free to repeat after me when I ask for you to join me. And again, as we close in prayer, you will see response cards come up on your screen. So if you're interested in joining along, please bow your heads as we go into a time of prayer. Father God, what an honor and a privilege. What an honor to speak to all the viewers today, Lord. Father God, I thank you for saving me, as the Apostle Paul said, the worst of sinners. Father God, thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for the relationship that we're able to have with you through him. Thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you for what you've done in my life and in the lives of men around this country. I pray for the men of Tennessee right now, Lord. I pray that you continue to work in their life. I pray for them to take that one next step, Lord. If that next step is just being open to a conversation, I pray that they are courageous enough to take that step. I pray for the men who are wanting to surround themselves with a group of men that they can process through tough issues, Lord. And I pray that you give them the courage to take that step. And Father God, finally, I pray for the men who right now are wanting to put a stake in the ground to make your son Jesus the Lord and Savior of their life on April 8th, 2020. And men, if that's you right now, I just pray that you repeat after me. Say, dear God, I know that my sins have broken my relationship with you. I know that no amount of good deeds can fix that. But right now, I believe that Jesus died in my place. Lord, I want to make Jesus Lord of my life. I'm entering into an eternal relationship with you. Thank you for this free gift. And in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, we're excited. We believe that you have been born again. And so the response cards that are going to come up on your screen, you're going to have the opportunity to get in contact with men in Tennessee. If you need to have a conversation, you have Mike, you have Wayne, we will reach out to you. Secondly, you have the opportunity to get connected to a group of men. And finally, third, if today was the day that you turned over your life to Christ, I would like you to publicly acknowledge that, because Jesus said, whoever acknowledges me in front of others, I will acknowledge others in front of, I will acknowledge them in front of my Father. What an honor and a privilege to share my story with you today. I'm praying for you often. God bless you all.